and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump has signed the executive order aimed at eliminating the Education Department. CBS's Jennifer Jacobs.
The department will be reduced for now, but not shuttered completely. The president pointed out that half of the staff have been either let go or they've taken those buyouts, that fork in the road buyouts. So we have a smaller agency doing some of the same functions for now.
A Pew Research poll finds Americans are evenly split in their views of the Education Department. Almost a year after the Baltimore Bridge collapse, the NTSB wants bridges inspected nationwide. CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
We're talking about the Golden Gate Bridge, the Coronado Bridge in San Diego, the Brooklyn Bridge in New York, the Chesapeake Bay Bridge in Maryland. These are significant bridges. We're talking about millions of people that drive across these 68 bridges every day.
The test would gauge their risk of collapse if hit by a ship. The Dow finished 11 points lower. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammy McCormick.
We wrap up the week of Midday Magazine in part one with Wisconsin State Senator Patrick Teston, and in part two, Wisconsin Rapid Schools Superintendent Ron Rasmussen. It's 4 to 5 on 97.5 FM WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. With less than 2 weeks before voters head to the polls, the two candidates competing to become the next state superintendent of public instruction met Wednesday night for an online forum to discuss differing visions for Wisconsin's public education system. Lisa Hale reports.
Incumbent Jill Underley and challenger Brittany Kinzer disagreed starkly on where Wisconsin schools are right now. Kinzer says she's running to restore standards that were lowered last year. She pledged to work with parents, increase transparency, ensure money gets into classrooms, reward great teachers, and decrease bureaucracy.
Right now, unfortunately, 3 out of 10 children are only reading well enough to go to college or have a career. And in Milwaukee, where I live, we have the worst outcomes for our Black students, with only 5% of children reading well enough to go to college or have a career.
Underley disagreed, arguing that Kinzer's claim that only 3 of 10 children are reading well enough to go to college is misleading. Underley, who's been the state superintendent since 2021, pointed to different successes during her tenure.
Wisconsin's moved from 14th in the nation for education in 2020 to 6th in 2024, and now we have the highest graduation rate in our state's history, and the progress that we've made is real. But our work isn't done.
The candidates disagreed markedly on a range of issues, from teacher pay, special education funding, challenges for Wisconsin's rural districts, diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts, and expansion of vouchers and charter schools. The election is April 1st. For Civic Media, I'm Lisa Hale.
You can find more news and sign up for our newsletter at WFHR.com. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
A Badgers win in the tournament. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. March Madness, the Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team with a victory today over the Montana Grizzlies. The final 85-66 in favor of the Badgers. Guard John Blackwell leading scoring with 19 points. Stephen Krall, 18. John Tanjay had 15. In all, 5 Badgers players with double-digit points. Up next, they face the winner of Brigham Young against Virginia Commonwealth University on Saturday. Marquette is in Cleveland, where they'll face New Mexico tomorrow night, game time 6:25. How much will making it to the tournament for a fourth year in a row help the Golden Eagles? Head coach Shaka Smart.
I think a ton. Having been through the twists and turns of the NCAA tournament, I think both the wins that we've had and also the losses we've had taught us a lot of lessons, taught those guys a lot of lessons. When you get to the NCAA tournament, it does feel different. It still comes down to trying to be the best version of yourselves as a team and individually out there on the court.
That's Marquette Shaka Smart with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the mid-20s. For tomorrow, mostly cloudy sky, slight shower chance in the afternoon. Highs, upper 40s. Then back into sunshine, but cooler Saturday, a high near 30. More rain possible Saturday night and Sunday.
Currently 35 degrees. Farm Rescue makes sure that you aren't alone. They're there to extend the hand and to take the burden.
Even the most independent farmers need help sometimes, and asking for that help is protecting the future. Farm Rescue provides equipment and volunteers free of charge to assist in times of crisis. We're currently accepting applications for planting and haying assistance. If you or someone you know could use our help, call 701-252-2017 or visit farmrescue.org.
The Todd Alba Show.
Let's go to Ollie in the North Woods. Ollie, hiccups or gas, what's worse?
Well, I'd like to frame my answer in the form of sports. It depends upon whether you're a passer or a receiver.
That's great. Whether you're the passer or the receiver, that's the best line of the day.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we continue on location from Richland Center, Wisconsin. We'll have the general manager of WRCO, WRCE, Phil Nee, and host of Those Were the Days, and look at our brackets. Be here.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who likes pina coladas, but hates getting caught in the rain, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, Wisconsin. What are you guys doing? How are you? Great to have you. Beautiful day here in the state of Wisconsin. And a beautiful evening here in downtown Green Bay after we got pummeled with snow. It's basically gone. And I always love that because it was very pretty last night. But it's nice that it's, you know, mostly gone. It should be gone. Conrad, what's your prediction? When can we say spring will be back?
There's supposed to be snow next week, Monday, I believe. So, I don't know. So this morning, I woke up a little early to go to the gym.
Good for you.
Just because I wanted to watch, you know.
You want to be ready for the game.
Yeah, but if they needed me, I was ready to go.
You're
ready
to go.
But when I walked out, eyes were barely open, just trying to get in my car. It was still slippery out there.
Yeah. But it was like so fast. All of a sudden, all the roads were clear. And I love that. I can handle that.
So I had my water bottle in my hand. And I did like a cartoonish slip.
Oh, no.
Water bottle flew out of my hand. I fell backwards.
Right as the girl you were trying to impress left her apartment.
And I texted my friend that. He goes, "You wouldn't believe it, but the same thing happened to me this morning."
Was that bad?
Yeah, wow. And he lives in Milwaukee, so that was funny. We did it on opposite ends of Wisconsin.
Simultaneous statewide slips. What are you benching these days?
I don't go for max bench. I just do reps.
Okay. How many reps?
Well, I start out, I do.
If this is a personal question, stop me.
No,
I don't know what, because I don't want to, you know.
I'm not too good on the math, so I can just tell you how many. But the best I got was two plates, 10 and a 2.5. I don't know just why
two
I added
plates.
It.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Is there food on those plates, or are you just lifting the plates? Well, how does that work?
Well, the bar's 45, and then the two plates are 45.
So you get two plates on each side.
That's 10.
90, 90. That's 180. The bar is 40.
45.
So you're pushing up 225.
More because I 10 added.
Oh,
10.
And then you add 10. So you're 245.
Plus,
dude, you're a
plus,
tank.
Plus five.
What's
but,
the
I mean,
five?
That
is
was,
that the knobs that go on the end? You can tell I'm a serious weightlifter. I just called them knobs.
No, that was that. I can't do that now. But that was back when I was college and just had nothing to do besides go to the gym and eat protein.
Try to increase your bench. That's like at college. Nobody cares how much they can bench once they leave college. It's like kind of a thing with dudes. I don't know if it is with girls, like, you know, but I remember that everybody's like, "What do you bench? What do you bench?" Now I don't even know, you know.
That I remember that was a big like you meet a guy, he's like, "Yeah, I go to the gym. What's your bench, dude?" Can you lift more than me?
It seems like kind of, because it seems like kind of a personal question. Like you're kind of laying the groundwork for a fight. Oh, really? Okay. Well, I bench this. That cracks me up. I hate my younger self.
I'd rather do lightweight and high reps.
Yeah.
I think that's the best for muscle growth.
I do this thing where I look kind of ridiculous. Like it's this thing where you put on as much weight as you can handle and you do a really slow resistance. Like you'll pull it up, you'll let it down slowly while you count to 25, back up while you count to 25 and back down while you count to 25. And it's great. It's like 30 minutes a week. That's all you need. And I've stuck with it for about almost 10 years now. I'm not always consistent,
okay.
But 30 minutes a week I can handle. So the problem is when you're doing it at the gym, it does not look like that much weight. So you look like you're kind of, I don't know what the right word is, special. I don't know. But you look like you're really struggling with a low amount of weight. And people don't realize, no, this is very hard because I'm letting it down very slowly. I'm not just doing, you know.
I don't think the correct way to lift is fast anyways. I think it is slow.
And keep your form.
I mean, you just got to get rid of like gym anxiety where you care what people actually think of what you're lifting. Like they're doing their own thing. You're doing your own thing.
Correct.
Yeah, I keep to my own self. And that's why I got like noise canceling headphones. It's like I'm just there by myself, you know?
Nice. No, that's what you got to do. And that's why I go at night. I go late at night and there's like four people in the gym. But I typically go in the clothes I wear when I've been on the radio. So I look like an extra nerd because it looks like I'm spazzing out over low weight with like a shirt with a collar and nice pants and tennis shoes. So it's like, what's this guy? I just don't see the point of spending $200 on a workout outfit when I go to the gym once a week to do my weights.
You know what? You just go to Amazon. They got some good cheap stuff on there for working out.
Workout threads?
They got some workout threads
there. All right. Maybe I should do that. I don't know. But I'm not really there to impress anyone. I'm just really trying to do the bare minimum.
You're just like, I was at the gym this week.
Yeah.
Let's point that out.
It's 30 minutes of resistance training. If I can't handle that, I'm pathetic. So, hey, all right. This has been Weightlifting Talk with Pete and Conrad. We're coming right back. We'll answer your questions about barbells and dumbbells and blasting your quads and everything we can think of. Great to have you with me tonight, folks. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwab. We are broadcasting from downtown Green Bay, and we have so much fun on a Thursday night. What is Thursday night, Conrad?
It is the Christmas Eve of weekdays.
It sure is, buddy. And it was a white Christmas, almost white Christmas Eve. But fun show tonight. Mike Toomey is coming by, my pal Mike Toomey, at 6:35 to make the popcorn pick of the week. Mike is a comedian who does a Christmas show every year here in Wisconsin. He's well-traveled throughout our state, and his day job is the WGN Morning Show, where he is one of the hosts. And he's just great at what he does and is a phenomenal comedian. One of those guys I looked up to when I started doing comedy and learned so much watching him. I still quit after 7 years, but it was not Mike's fault. So Mike will be here shortly at 6:35. We'll talk popcorn. We'll talk movies. He's got a new thing I know he wants to talk about, a segment he will do. I know we have listeners in Chicago, so they can maybe check out Mike on WGN-TV. And then, this is exciting, Northeast Wisconsin's own Lou Lepore will be here. Lou is a magician. I was introduced to Lou by my friend Mike Desitel, who used to work in the news racket here in Green Bay, who lives in Marinette now. And Mike, what am I looking at here? Oh, that's funny. Mike connected me with Lou, and they're both part of this brotherhood of magicians. So I'm excited to talk about that. We've talked a little magic on the show before, but not really done a deep dive, I would say.
Yeah, not too much.
Yeah. So we'll talk to Lou about a big event they have coming up and a big celebration of Harry Houdini. Now, that's what I was getting at, folks. I kind of buried the lead. I'm excited to talk about Harry Houdini with another magician who is pretty well-schooled in Harry Houdini's life and in magic in Northeast Wisconsin. So that'll be fun to have Lou here in the studio. And great fun. Today, I'm telling you, I don't know, the game today, I don't know how I feel about it. Like, it was a good win for the Badgers, but talk about a lackluster. Neither team looked like they wanted to be there. Like, usually when I sit down to watch something and work, It never works out. Like, I'll sit down to do some work, and I'm like, I'm going to watch this game. And the game is crazy exciting, and I get nothing done. This game today, I was like, oh, the Badgers are up 10. Oh, they cut it to 6. Oh, the Badgers are back up by 15. It was like an easy game to kind of follow and work through. But a good win. They move on.
They move on. They face BYU.
Yeah.
And BYU's a good team, so it's going to be a tough challenge.
Did BYU win by a landslide, or how was that game?
They won by a decent amount. Yeah, it was... Well, it started out, they were up by 20 for most of the game, and then it kind of cut down a little bit towards the end, but...
Okay.
Yeah, BYU looks good, so Badgers got to step up the pace a little bit, I think, against them.
That's the thing that worried about me. Like, that's the thing that worried me was that the Badgers, you know... I feel like when you're in the tournament and you have a little bit of momentum, and I know they lost to Michigan, but they still had momentum, I feel like. And, you know, the two guys I was watching the game with, or the second half at least, they were like, they got to throttle these guys. Like, they should be sending a message. And the Badgers weren't. It's kind of like, I felt like they played like they have 3 championships out of the last 5 years and they're just getting through this. But no, the Badgers, every time they're in the tournament, there should be some franticness or some urgency there. I didn't see any of that today.
The one thing I will say about this is a definitely different look Badgers. The Badgers that we've seen before don't score 80 points. They score 60.
That's true.
You know, and it's just mainly about defense back then. But now I think we got some good offensive pieces. I mean, today, Tanjay didn't even do much. But Blackwell, Amos, who's off the bench, they played really well. So it's just about ball movement, who can do it that day.
It sounded like you said bowel movement.
Bowel. Whoever can do the bowel movement
they had
the best.
Some serious bowel movements out there today. That's and it makes them lighter on their feet. It was,
yeah, exactly.
They really very active and agile. Hey, we got to get to our question of the night, and it's based on. Before you do that, Conrad, today is National. What is it? Ravioli Day. I think it's National Ravioli Day. And that got me thinking. We've done so well. People love responding to food questions. So our question of the night is happening now.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What's your favorite Italian dish? This got my brain. I was racking my brain trying to figure out because I love Italian food. I don't eat it as much as I used to because it's so heavy, but it is so good. And I have to say, I think I'm just going to say straight up garlic and oil. Linguine with garlic and oil, some extra garlic maybe, and give me some garlic bread. And I am set. I don't need the red sauce, maybe a meatball on the side or something, but I just love pasta. Garlic and oil, baby. That is my favorite Italian meal. That is our question of the night. What is your favorite Italian meal? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can text us on the app or on the stream. I was just about to ask Conrad his favorite. We got a phone call. So your favorite Italian meal, folks. And if you're watching on the stream, you're going to see we have an in-studio guest tonight, which is exciting. At 7:20, Lou Lepore will be here. So if you want to see on the stream, I think Lou is going to try to do some tricks, too. And magic tricks on the radio are tough, but if Lou is here in person, you should definitely check it out on the stream.
I was going to – he's actually going to be over stream.
Now. Lou is?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was coming in.
No, he's going to be over stream, but he's still going to do some tricks over it. So even he's going to be on the stream, so if you want to tune in for that, you'll be able to see what he's going to do.
God, I put on deodorant for nothing. No offense.
Oh, yeah, I was about to say, come on.
So you got to answer, what is your favorite Italian meal?
I will tell after the break because it's a little longer.
Well, that must be a hell of a meal.
It is.
Okay, all right, we're going to do that. You find out what Conrad's favorite Italian dish coming up. We're going to talk about Ferris Bueller. That dropped today, years and years ago. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Winter is out and winning is in. It's our Break in the Spring statewide text to win contest on your local Civic Media radio station. Your daily shot at a Chula Vista getaway, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, or $100 cash. And every entry gets you closer to the grand prize, a brand new Verlo Queen mattress set complete with a mattress, sheets, protector, and pillows. Download the Civic Media app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Choose your station that gets set to win starting Monday, March 24th. It's time to break into spring with WFHR.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Folks, we've got to talk about Derek Van Orden. The second-term congressman representing Wisconsin's 3rd District is at it again, dodging public meetings and making all kinds of unhinged comments. As many scramble and struggle to understand the chaos of what's happening in Washington, D.C. and how it's impacting people here in Wisconsin, Van Orden has been as frustrating and disrespectful as ever. In one instance, Van Orden took to social media to berate a veteran who had been fired from his job at the VA by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. And the veteran in question is simply someone who was just reaching out to his congressman, looking for answers. Van Orden's office has also hastily canceled public meetings, and he has made some especially wild accusations about people who have been attending these public events. Congressman Van Orden needs to stop this unhinged madness, and more importantly, be more available and accountable to his constituents.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
You're listening to locally grown radio WFHR.
What is your favorite Italian dish? It is National Ravioli Day. Everything has a day. Everything has a day, whether they deserve it or not. It's kind of insane. But today is National Ravioli Day, so our question of the night is, what is your favorite Italian dish? I went straight up old school. Not even old school, just very kind of plain Jane-ish linguine with garlic and oil. Extra garlic. And when I'm in a restaurant, there's a restaurant up in Peshtigo I go to sometimes called Luigi's. And I'll say, double the garlic and then double that. No one likes me in their house afterwards, but it is a delish. So what is your favorite Italian dish? That's our question tonight. Conrad, you kind of teased us before the break, but what say you?
So I guess it's not really a dish, but it's one of the best things I had when I was in Rome. It was this little shop right outside the hotel. And I got a pint of Peroni, which is their beer over there.
Okay.
And I had this ham, well, pastrami? I don't know. I can't remember if it was.
Prosciutto?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
It was that on some like amazing crust with just a basic like butter, garlic, like sauce. There was no actual sauce on it, just that. And then some really good, some cheese on there. It's a smaller, it's like a personal pan pizza, pretty much.
So pizza.
So it was that, the Peroni, and just the sights. That was my favorite thing there.
But it's kind of like a designer pizza almost, or a...
Yeah, I would say, I mean, it was a gelato spot.
Interesting.
But they had like, they really advertised the gelato, but you go inside there and it's just like, there was like 5 pages on the menu.
I don't even need the red sauce anymore. I love the garlic. Scott from the 608 says, in my 50s, it's how long do you plank? Yes. I'll tell you what, Scott. I love, you know, I go through bouts where I'll do sit-ups, but I just hate it so much. I really hate the pain of sit-ups. And I can't do 20 sit-ups. I have to do it until it kind of hurts. And then I keep pushing myself and I just quit. And I don't do it for like a year. But I know how important that is, how important your core is as you get older. Who called, Conrad? Cindy called?
Yeah, that was Cindy.
Cindy, we had to reset our phones, so we'd love to hear from you if you want to call back. Steve from the 920 says, after watching the Badgers today, I have a strong feeling they will make it to at least the Sweet 16. That is my prediction. I hope they make it at least that far.
I think they'll go to the Elite Eight.
I hope. I mean, with a 3 seed, you should be in that conversation
in talks,
somewhere.
Yeah, definitely.
From the 920, Cindy. Oh, phone not working. We figured that out. All right. AJ from the 608 says, hi, Pete and Conrad. Do you even lift? Wait, what does that mean, bros? Is AJ taking a shot at us, Conrad? Because AJ is spelling bras, B-R-A-H-S, like bros, bruh.
Bruh.
So AJ's like, do you even lift, bros? I think that's a challenge.
Yep.
Listen, I will bench 100 pounds.
There you go.
I don't even need a spotter for that. And I'll do it on the stream, AJ. AJ says, I love piccata, chicken or seafood. Make it simple and delicious. Butter, lemon, and capers. Oh, man, that's good. Yeah, you can't go wrong. Lemon's the other thing. Garlic and lemon, put as much of it on as you want. I'm still eating it. From the 608, Anna from Madison says, my favorite Italian food is manicotti with a glass of Prosecco. Prosecco, I thought so. Is that spelled right?
I don't know.
I thought it was like a derivation of Prosecco. And tiramisu for dessert.
Ooh,
very nice. Anna, doing it upright. Steady Eddie. A little early for Steady Eddie.
Yeah.
He must have set his alarm. But I love it. Steady Eddie, as you know or may not know, is in the 608. He says, Pete, I'm impressed by Conrad.
Thank you.
Well, who isn't? what are you bench pressing these days, Pete? Lately, I'm focusing on 12-ounce curls at the gym. So that's not beer. That's the joke. But Steady Eddie is just curling actual 12 ounces of weight. He says a bar that's around the corner just down the street. I get it. The bar is called the gym. Did you get that?
That's a pretty sick name for
a
bar.
Pretty sweet name. I feel like I've either heard of that or, well, it'd be in the 608, so maybe Madison. I don't know. Steady Eddie, a little early for you, buddy, but I like it. You still brought it. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids says, Sophia Loren on the beach. Yeah, scrap my order of garlic and pasta. I'll take Sophia Loren on the beach as well. I didn't mean that the way it sounded, but that's a lovely image. Thank you, Tyler, for the text. So let us know, what is your favorite Italian dish? It is National Ravioli Day, ladies and gentlemen, and that's what we are trying to find out. Badgers won today. That's exciting. I've been watching, I started Severance last night. Have you watched Severance?
I got through two episodes. I don't know. It kind of dragged for me. I didn't get back into it yet.
Okay. I didn't, I like it. I watched one episode and the show is so popular. It, like on paper, when I read about it, it didn't do anything for me. But it's so popular, people are flipping over this show to the point where when you go to Roku and you put S in search, Severance comes up. Just S. You go to Google, SE, Severance. Like, that's how popular this Apple TV show is. So I watched the first episode last night, episode one, season one, and I was confused, borderline bored for the first 40 minutes. And then it came around, and knowing what the premise is, I thought it was kind of cool. So I'll stick with it. But it must be something. It must go places because people rave about it. So I don't know. So we don't have time for a Ferris Bueller clip, do we? Did I talk too much?
No, we actually got time for... It's a 12-second clip, but I think you'll recognize it.
You think we can squeeze that in?
It's when they're out at the ballpark.
All right. Ferris Bueller dropped today in 1987. Here's a little clip from Ferris Bueller at Wrigley Field.
I think I broke my thumb.
Hey, bada, 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 so wing, bada. Come on.
You know, I mean, that's a nice clip, but 12 seconds. There you go, folks. 12 seconds of Ferris Bueller on the anniversary of one of the greatest comedies from the '80s. Brought to you by Nightlight. That's fantastic. What is your favorite Italian dish? It's National Ravioli Day. Jim from Appleton says, Italian food, yummy. My favorite is stuffed cannoli filled with hot... cannelloni. I am not even close to being bilingual. Filled with hot sausage and spinach covered with marinara and Parmesan cheese. Yeah, nice. Conrad's mom checks in and says, I love mushroom ravioli with a light wine sauce and garlic with a glass of Italian red wine.
Yeah, love the mushrooms.
You Kriegers know the drill when you go to Italy. All right, Mike Toomey is coming up. It's our popcorn pick of the week, coming up right after Civic Media's award-winning news team tells you what's up. It's Pete Schwab and Nightlight. Great to have you with me on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The term for mayor in Wisconsin Rapids will extend from 2 years to 3 years after the next election. The Common Council passed the charter ordinance at their regular meeting on Tuesday. Previous discussion also included extending the terms for alderpersons. However, everyone agreed that that was not necessary. General discussion at a meeting in February ended with the consensus that it's difficult for the mayor to accomplish objectives within 2 years if they have to spend the second half of their term campaigning for the next election. The committee agreed to the ordinance change because they also have oversight if an elected mayor isn't doing their job. In Wisconsin, a city council can remove or fire an elected mayor if there is due cause and a 3/4 vote in the council. Senator Tammy Baldwin is raising concerns on how the NOAA firings will impact the Great Lakes. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot tells us more.
Baldwin wrote a letter to NOAA's Vice Admiral Hahn, wanting to know in detail the number of people fired at NOAA, how many of those served the Great Lakes, and what services will be lost as a result. She also wants to know how they plan to preserve these services. Baldwin says not only do the Great Lakes attract millions of visitors each year, but they also provide drinking water to over 30 million people, generate clean hydropower, and generate $3.1 trillion in gross domestic product. Now, there are 12 sectors within NOAA that deal with Lake Michigan and Lake Superior. They range from things like providing critical marine forecasts for shipping, storm surges, and coastal flooding, to investing in clean drinking water or protecting wildlife from invasive species. There are even programs to prevent microplastics from entering the Great Lakes.
There's a Red Cross blood drive today in Wisconsin Rapids. They'll be at McMillan Library from 10 to 3. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're headed to the theaters this weekend, here are some moving pictures to consider. Disney's live-action version of Snow White is called Disney's Snow White. The film stars Rachel Zegler as Snow White and Gal Gadot as the Evil Witch, and it's packed with Snow White pals Bashful, Doc, Sleepy, and the gang. The story might be an age-old Disney favorite, but this new iteration is pulling only a 45% on Rotten Tomatoes. Not good when you mess up a classic. Here are a couple suggestions for films that are reviewing well. Sci-fi horror film Ash is the story of a woman who wakes up on a foreign planet only to find her crew has been murdered. The film has been called riveting and is pulling an 84% on Rotten Tomatoes. Magazine Dreams also has excellent reviews. The drama tells the story of a bodybuilder pursuing his dream of being on the cover of muscle magazines, but struggles with loneliness. Let's have fun at the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the mid-20s. For tomorrow, mostly cloudy sky, slight shower chance in the afternoon. Highs upper 40s. Then back into sunshine, but cooler Saturday, a high near 30. More rain possible Saturday night and Sunday. Currently 35 degrees.
To everyone who loves the taste of tradition, come enjoy a classic Wisconsin fish fry at Culver's.
If you're craving something crispy on the outside and flaky on the inside, you've got to try our North Atlantic cod. Or if you're in the mood for a little extra crunch, our lightly breaded butterfly jumbo shrimp hits the spot every time. Dive into delicious with all your fish fry favorites at Culver's.
From Wisconsin with love, welcome to delicious.
Culver's on 8th Street South in Wisconsin Rapids.
The Badgers.
Feeds Max, fakes the three, takes the three, left side, yes sir.
Flee.
Pivots, fades, flips, good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it, with the right hand, it counts and a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, streaming live on the Civic Media app.
Earl Ingram.
Eager to stay updated on the latest happenings around you? Join me and my guest host, Sandy Williams, tomorrow as we dive into this week's events.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9. Time for the Nightlight Popcorn Pick of the Week, where we recommend a movie that you'll either enjoy or won't. Here's your host, Pete Schwabba.
All right, welcome back. This is fun. Every week, one of my favorite segments, we get to talk about movie snacks, what we like to watch, and then we get to get an actual pick from our guest of a movie that we should see that's being recommended to us. So always fun to do the Popcorn Pick of the Week. And joining me now to make this week's pick, you might know him from his Christmas show he does every year in Southeast Wisconsin. He's a comedian and a TV host from WGN TV on the morning show in Chicago. Mike Toomey joins me now. Mike, how are you?
Oh, Pete, I'm just fine. How are you today?
Doing very well. Thank you.
Tonight.
It's Nightlight, yes. Mike. Yes.
It is the Nightlight. And I hope you're burning. I hope you're keeping the Nightlight on.
Oh, we're doing it. We're keeping our heart light on, Mike.
Hey, you know what? Because home's the most excellent place to be, and that's where I am right now. But listen, I heard your review or your mention of the Snow White and Seven Dwarfs movie.
Oh, yeah.
Did you know that according to a survey, only one in seven dwarfs is happy?
Is it too late to change who we do the popcorn pick this week? Boy, Mike, I'll tell you what, you have to, I'm assuming that's not your pick. We'll get your pick in a minute, but that to mess up a Disney movie, like that is not reviewing well. You've got one of the most popular brands ever in movie history from one of the oldest studios and you mess it up and you're getting bad reviews. How does that happen?
Yeah, I don't know. It's almost like maybe you wonder if they're not running out of ideas, you know? How many times can we reboot something when it's really good?
It's awful. It's just 46% it's getting on Rotten Tomatoes. So thank you for, I assume that's not your pick and we'll get to your pick, but how are you? Did Mike freeze?
Yeah, he did.
Mike's frozen. I think we had issues. Did we have this problem last time?
I don't believe so.
No, he looks very handsome. Look, he's just kind of smiling and his face is in one position if you're watching on the street. Or he's just doing that. That's something Mike would do. Let's see if we can reconnect Mike Conrad and see what we can do there. So while we are trying to get Mike Toomey back on the line, we'll go to our text line here. And Steve from Florida checks back in from the 920. He says, after our family trip to Italy this past year, taking a private lesson on making a fresh-made cheese ravioli and tiramisu was amazing, but my favorite Italian dish is still a good homemade lasagna. Yeah, it's hard to go. That's our Christmas Eve dish every year, Steve. My mom would make lasagna on Christmas Eve, then we'd have kind of the big turkey and stuffing on Christmas Day, but I love lasagna. And I like in lasagna, it's like you don't have humongous chunks of sausage. It's more subtle. So I love a good lasagna. That's a great text. That's our question of the night is what is your favorite Italian dish? It is National Ravioli Day here in America. So all you patriots have some Italian food tonight. So do we have Mike back?
He's not back yet.
Oh, he's not back yet. Should we just call him?
Yeah, I'm going to.
You got his number?
I'm going to get it.
How'd you get Mike Toomey's number? He's a big star. Look at you. Conrad's got everybody's number. I'll tell you another movie that's not reviewing well. Mike and I were talking about Snow White. Robert De Niro, The Alt Knights is out, and it's Alto Knights. I'm sorry. Do we have Mike?
No, say it.
I don't speak sign language, so if you could just tell me what's on your mind.
I was saying to check your chat.
Yeah, my chat, okay. You can just ask me on the air for his number. I like looking up phone numbers on the air. You know what? What if something horrible happened to him? I hope that's not the case. He's one of my best friends, but can you imagine, like, we're making jokes, and someone, like, invaded Mike's house and said, get off the radio?
You're not allowed to be on radio. You're
not allowed to be on radio. Hey, that bit I wanted from him with the marijuana PSA, he says he can't use that anymore. There's some sort of, I know. All right, I'm texting you the number, and then I will, and then we'll get Mike on the phone and see if we can get on with our popcorn pick of the week. Here's a pick. I was talking about the Alto Knights, the new Robert De Niro film. This is so sad because it's a Barry Levinson movie. It is not reviewing well. And it's the story of Frank Costello and Vito Genovese in New York. De Niro plays both roles. He plays the head of two families. And I don't know why they did that. Rob Thomas was on last night, and he said, couldn't they get Joe Pesci or something like that? But it's just like a gimmicky thing that I don't think you need. Like, those are two interesting enough guys. They led two of the five New York families in the mob. You don't need to do a gimmick like that. And you got Barry Levinson directing. I don't understand why they were doing that. You had to reset the phone again. How do you do that? It's okay. We've got, we'll get Mike on the phone. We're resetting our phone, and then we are going to reset our hard drives because someone got, I'm concerned about Mike. That's all I'm saying. And I will drive to Chicago tonight to defend my friend. Mike's going to make the popcorn pick of the week as soon as we get him back here once our phones are reset. But I was talking about the Alto Knights, and it's Robert De Niro. Barry Levinson is the director. Why do you have to have De Niro play the two leads? I think that would be very distracting. And it's totally unnecessary. And I think when you do that, when you have a big-time director and a big-time actor with a studio behind it, I don't think that's going to help you with critics. So the good thing is, if you like De Niro and Barry Levinson, maybe this film is not as bad as critics are saying. Maybe they don't like kind of the smugness of this gimmick, of De Niro playing two roles. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. I'm anxious to see the audience reviews on Rotten Tomatoes after this weekend, which is opening weekend.
You know what my theory is?
Yeah.
They only had a budget for one big actor.
So okay.
They said, well.
So here's my response to that. Go out and get an actor who's not as well known. You still got Robert De Niro on your marquee.
Didn't think of it.
Yeah. You were going to talk the other night, too. We haven't gotten to this yet because we keep getting distracted, but the Electric State. Was it terrible? I still can't bring myself to watch it, given the reviews.
I can't remember if it was yesterday. Yeah, I think it was yesterday in the beach. You said it wasn't reviewing well.
Right.
And I can see probably because they did have such a big budget for what the movie was, I think. But I think the story is really nice, you know.
Oh.
But it's kind of funny how her brother is like the Albert Einstein, and he goes to college in like ninth grade or something like that, and they go into battle with robots because the robots are sick of working for humans, like that do like, you know, like hair cutting or stuff like that. So they were, it's like a huge war between USA versus the robots. The robots are winning, and then this guy makes a software where the humans control robots, but aren't in it. You know what I mean? They put headsets on.
Right.
And how they got to that is that they took the brother and put him in like, I don't even know how to explain it. They put him in it, connected a bunch of things to it. And that's his brain was powering all that software.
Wow.
Yeah.
So if that review is any indication, Conrad just explained the movie, The Electric State. The movie is getting a 15% on Rotten Tomatoes. 15? I would give your review a 30%, so your review is more exciting than the movie. However, 72% of audiences like the film. And I think people just like to hang out at home or whatever, but audiences seem to like it more than critics. I feel like there's a stigma. You know, when Chris Pratt makes a movie or Ryan Reynolds, you kind of know what you're going to get. I feel like that's the same type of deal. I also watched a film called, Elevation. Okay, a couple weeks ago, I talked about The Gorge, and I thought that was I said, it's not a great movie, but it's a great streaming movie. And I feel kind of the same way about Elevation. Anthony Mackie is the lead. It's about a bunch of people who have to live in the mountains above 8,000 feet so that these creatures who wiped out 95% of the population can't reach them. They cannot go above 8,000 feet. So throughout the course of the movie, Anthony Mackie has to save his son. They live in this little community. He has to go below 8,000 feet to find an old hospital to get some asthma medicine for his son. And these creatures, obviously, he has to avoid them, and he goes down with two other people. It was good. I mean, I enjoyed it. They explained how the creatures came to be and how they've been living in the middle of the earth for centuries, waiting to hatch and come up and take over the world. And I thought it was actually really enjoyable, especially for a streaming movie, a streaming platform movie. I thought it was really good. So There's a recommendation for you. I also watched Long Bright River, a new show on Peacock starring Amanda Seyfried. And I'll tell you about that one soon, too, because I really enjoyed that one as well. I'm crushing it on streaming. I haven't seen Electric State, though, yet. Do we have him? Oh, Mike's back?
Yes, he is.
Okay. Do we have him on phone? Okay. I prefer phone. It's old school. I'm an old school guy. Mike, how are you?
I'm sorry. I don't know what's going on. I apologize for that.
Oh, that's okay. Your face was kind of stuck in the stream. You had kind of a funny expression, and I didn't know if you were just doing that to be funny, because I wouldn't put that past you to do something like that.
People say that to me a lot. Are you making that face to be funny?
And then when you don't, answer after 2 minutes, they're like, "Oh, okay, I guess not."
You're like, "What? What face? This is my face."
So, all right, Mike, we'll get into more of the popcorn. We're coming up. We got a couple minutes before a break. So let's get your popcorn pick after the short break. But I want to ask you, what is your favorite Italian dish? You're half Italian.
Yes, sir.
So it's kind of fortuitous that you're on the show tonight on National Ravioli Day. And I don't mean that in any kind of derogatory way. I love Italians. I kind of wish I was Italian. What is your favorite Italian dish?
Well, I'm a big fan of ravioli on Ravioli Day, but lately it kind of goes in phases. But for the last several years, I've really enjoyed a good eggplant parmesan.
Oh, wow. Do you find that the eggplant really kind of messes up the consistency of the pasta?
No.
Okay.
I do not find that. And, I mean, if they do it right. If it's done right, it's hard to beat.
Is that the kind of dish you would get down at Sinise's Winery in the 80s?
Yes, as a matter of fact, it is.
Here's my favorite story. This is a comedy club on the south side of Chicago that a lot of Chicago comics would work. And these two brothers owned it, and they were good guys, you know. And Mike thought he would take it upon himself to say to one of them, "Are they still in business, Mike? Is that place still there?"
Yeah, no.
Okay,
no,
I can say this. All right, so you saw a mouse, and you went up and told one of the owners, and you said, "Hey, I just want to let you know. I saw a mouse by the kitchen." And what did he say to you?
He said, like, "Oh, yeah? Where?"
I thought you said he just said, "Thanks, Mike." Like, it was not even.
That could have been it. I don't remember. I just remember I was expecting, "Oh, my God. We got to get somebody on this right now. Call Larkin." You know, but it was just
word.
A very, like, a shrug.
That's
okay.
So funny. do you have a team, Mike? Did you watch any basketball today? Who do you have? Did you make a prediction, or did you fill out a bracket this year for the NCAA?
I have not yet, but generally my go-to is always Barbizon School of Beauty.
Ooh. They got it.
And Train Co. is very strong this year. We're looking for them to be the dark horse.
They have a great backcourt. What? How about any of the clown colleges making an appearance this year? They've been quiet the last few years.
They all kind of beat up on each other all year. None of them really, you know, emerged with a good record. But, you know, it's nice when they would travel to go to visit another school, they would do it in one car.
And then their gear would arrive in another Volkswagen Bug. Oh, that is glorious. How do you, like, are you an Illinois fan, though? I mean, you live kind of south of Chicago. You're kind of right in the thick of it. I know your son went to U of I. Are you an Illinois fan?
Not entirely. I mean, I like basketball. I like the tournament, but I'm one of those people who doesn't really get too interested until a couple rounds in when there's a Cinderella team has been established and some of that. But yeah, hey, if Illinois is in, I certainly want them to win. Yeah.
That is some serious diehard fandom. I'm just the opposite, Mike. I like the first weekend with all the games and the craziness and the upsets. And then obviously I'm with you. If there's like a Cinderella team, I'll get behind that too. Mike Toomey is here. He is one of the hosts of the WGN Morning Show in Chicago and a comedian who does a Christmas show here in Wisconsin every year. We'll talk about that too. But first, technical issues behind us. We're going to get Mike's popcorn pick of the week. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Homegrown Radio, WFHR.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A Washington state audit of rejected 2020 mail-in ballots offers insight on whose ballots are more likely to be rejected and recommends actions to reduce that number, over 37,000 in 2024. Primary reasons for rejection include ballots received or postmarked after Election Day, a missing signature on a ballot envelope, or the voter's signature couldn't be confirmed. Auditors found 2020 rates varied from a high of 1.5% in Franklin County to 0.02% in Columbia County, but they also found higher rejections of younger voters, 18 to 21, where 2.6% of ballots were rejected, and black voters at 2.5%. They also found that non-native English speakers were 47% more likely to have ballots rejected. Signature issues can often be cured, but many voters don't or can't correct it. The auditors recommended outreach programs on college campuses, sending letters and calling voters with curable signature issues, more training on signature verification, opening early voting centers 18 days before the election, an advisory committee for disabled voters, and ballot drop boxes for every 15,000 voters. In the 2024 general election, Washington's statewide rejection rate had dropped to 0.94%, but of those, over 24,000 were rejected for a mismatched signature. Find a link to the audit at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. It's time for the Nightlight Popcorn Pick of the Week, where we recommend a movie that you'll either enjoy or won't. Here's your host, Pete Schwabba.
That is right, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Popcorn Pick of the Week. Great to have you with me on this Thursday night. My guest giving said pick is Mike Toomey. He is one of the morning hosts of the WGN Morning Show. And a hilariously funny stand-up comedian who is well-traveled through our state and does a Christmas show here every year in southeast Wisconsin. We'll talk a little bit about that. But, Mike, let's talk popcorn. Let's talk movies. What do you have a favorite movie snack?
Well, I used to get the, you know, we used to do the thing where you go to Walgreens first and get the box of Raisinets, the snow caps, and then stuff them in your... You know, your clothes, and they rattle when you walk in, like you're really getting away with something, and they know that you're what you're doing. But nothing in particular. But yeah, the big box, the big Raisinets, the snow caps, and what is another thing that it has a name you can't pronounce, but it goes with those
goobers.
There it is. I have the worst time pronouncing the word goober.
It's an absolute horrible name for a snack.
Candy is good.
Yeah, it's a terrible name for a snack. But I have ordered them. My wife gets Raisinets. I get the Goobers. I don't think they make either one of them anymore. Maybe they still make Raisinets, but
I'm pretty sure you can still score some Raisinets.
You think so? On the a guy?
I got a guy.
All right. I think that's the way to do it, too, is to go to the store first. And I haven't done that in so long. But I used to love going on the road with comics because they would, like, Rich Brown would sneak a beer in. And you'd be watching, like, you'd have the opening credits. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and you'd hear, psst, like, everybody. How do you like to watch movies, Mike? Do you like to go to the theater, or do you have a game plan at home? Do you like to stream? What's your tactic?
We have really become quite the streamers of late.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we would go occasionally to the movie theaters, but then once COVID hit, you know, we're those people who haven't really made it back. I've probably been to maybe 3-4 movies since COVID at the actual theater.
Oh, so, no kidding.
You know, we look forward to our Fridays here and we'll just stream stuff.
Do you find this is what happens to me when I like to stream stuff too? I mean, it's just so easy. Obviously, I can watch 2 or 3 things in a night. But I find myself getting up a lot. And I don't know if it's like because I'm semi-OCD, but I'll go, oh, wait a minute.
I should go turn that light off, or I should get this dish done so I don't have to do it later. Maybe I should pee. I don't really have to go, but I'm bored and I want to not have to go in a half hour. You know what I mean? Like, you sure. kind of find excuses to do things.
No, I find it pretty easy to just stay on my back the whole time.
Yeah, thanks for the assist. So what do you eat at home, though? Do you have a different snack? Because you can make anything if you're at home.
Usually Friday, I mean, you know, when we get old, you become sort of ritualized a little bit. We tend to order a pizza and just try to whip through stuff on a Friday night.
What kind of pizza?
Well, we get several options around here, Pete. there's a lovely dessert pizza at the place down the road, but... any kind is good.
Okay. All right. I think we're, Conrad, you ready? I think we're ready to get our guest, Mike Toomey's popcorn pick of the week. Conrad, if you please.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Nightlight popcorn pick of the week. Giving this week's pick is comedian Mike Toomey.
All right. Now I'm going to go way back. I don't know how many people give you like really old movies or lesser remembered movies, but I'm going to go all the way back to 1939. There was a movie I watched when I was up really late, and I just stumbled upon it, and It just hit me at the right time, and it was the coolest movie. It's called On Borrowed Time with Lionel Barrymore. Have you heard of this movie?
I have not.
Okay. It's kind of got like a Twilight Zone element to it, and in 1939, so that's 8 years before he was Mr. Potter and It's a Wonderful Life. But he still played the old man character. And he cheats death is essentially what he does in this movie. And all the stuff that happens in the course of it is really pretty clever, pretty cool, very, very Twilight Zone before the Twilight Zone.
I was not expecting that, Mike. That's a great pick. When's the last time you watched that movie? It sounds like it's one you've gone back to over the years.
I actually watched it less than a year ago when I was sitting up late. I found it on one of the streaming services and watched it at like 2 in the morning, which is how I discovered it in the first place. You know, I wasn't expecting it and came across this movie. And I, for whatever reason, like, you know, some movies, you just remember them vividly, yeah. You know, line for line, scene for scene. So that's mine.
That's fantastic. Are you a fan of film noirs?
Yes.
Me too. I've been so into those lately, and so many of the streaming services, you know how it is. You watch one, the algorithm takes off, and all of a sudden you've got like 50. This is one of those times I actually like that because I've seen so many great ones, and I've learned to sort of teleport myself back and watch a movie through different eyes almost, or in a different era. Like 20 years ago, I probably would not have enjoyed film noirs as much, but now I can't get enough of them.
Right. And depending on what the theme of it is or what they're talking about, sometimes it loosely holds up today and you can assimilate it with something that's going on now or the same types of arguments that people have.
Do you have a favorite actor from that era?
Well, going way back, I mean, I actually loved him. I thought the Lionel Barrymore was like, you know, a standout, of course. That whole It's a Wonderful Life movie, you gotta love Jimmy Stewart. You gotta, you know, love all those guys. But yeah, I'm gonna go Lionel Barrymore.
I love it. That's great. Mike, can we keep you for a few more minutes after the news?
Of course.
I felt like our time was cheated a little bit, but I have a few more questions for you, then we'll let you get on. I know you have to get up at like 3 in the morning, right?
4.
Okay. All right, Mike Toomey is my guest. He's one of the hosts of the WGN Morning Show and a very funny comedian. We'll talk a little bit about a Christmas show he does here every year because I want to whet people's appetite, Mike, as the year goes on. We'll do all of that after the news. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Maggie Dawn.
Hey, everybody. I'm taking a little bit of a spring break, but we got a very special best of episode for you. And look forward to John and Gordy in the seat for the Maggie Dawn Show next week.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump signs an executive order that begins the process of dismantling the Department of Education, he says, once and for all.
People have wanted to do this for many, many years, for many, many decades. And I don't know, no president ever got around to doing it, but I'm getting around to doing it.
The NTSB says last year's deadly Key Bridge collapse could have been prevented if required vulnerability assessments were done, and the board recommends 68 U.S. bridges be evaluated for risk collapse. CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
We're talking about the Golden Gate Bridge, the Coronado Bridge in San Diego, the Brooklyn Bridge in New York, the Chesapeake Bay Bridge in Maryland. These are significant bridges.
A judge calls the Justice Department's filing woefully insufficient in the legal standoff over last weekend's deportation flights. CBS's Scott McFarland.
The judge, for a second time here in Washington, asked the Department of Justice to explain when those planes took off last Saturday, when they cleared U.S. airspace, when they landed, why his order to turn the plane around wasn't followed.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
James here, host of